relax and get loose while I put you up on game. The Figure Booth with Josh and Nate, this that podcast, folk. Those in the know, Batman versus Iron Man, how would it go? We talking one of a kind, collectibles, Mezco toys are respectable. It's unacceptable if it's not in the packaging. Nate don't take pics if you ain't rapping it. Nate's dirty tricks are always happening, but damn it, man, don't you be stressing. Round here we believe in plastic confessions. We trying to figure out the figures that's gonna stand the test of time. That G.I. Joe handmade hit me in the spine. There's perfection in the way that these toys are made. But I also wanna know, do I pick Wade or Slade? So this is where I come to kick it with the guys. The Figure Booth, like, comment, and subscribe.
Hello and welcome to the Figure Booth podcast, here where we talk about the modern day collector and the ups and downs they go through. We go over pre-orders, we share our plastic confessions, and we do interviews with those in the toy community. My name is Josh, aka Prime to the First, and I'm joined by my friend co-host Figure Fan underscore Nate.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You've reached episode 83, which we're calling Too Many Points.
Way too many points. Too many comments, unofficial commentator.
He's the comment king.
He's the ring king. He has one too many rings, or maybe he needs more fingers for more of his rings. I don't know. Y'all know who we're talking about. He may be thinking this is alive right now, so we might as well just bring him on to the show.
Who knows? He's almost part of the show at this point. We talk about him almost every single episode. He's a big supporter of the show, so we do appreciate him. We've been talking about having him on for a while. I'm a big supporter of his dios. You probably already know who we're talking about at this point. Let's go ahead and welcome to the show the one, the only, 78 points of articulation.
Evening, fellas.
Made it to the booth, baby.
Made it. I made it. Made it, finally.
The streams have aligned.
They have aligned.
Or, I guess, crossed.
Now you don't have to comment. You can actually, we can have this dialogue.
I know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with myself.
He's going
to
be I don't know what to do with my hands. Just put them down.
Yeah. The real question is he going to comment on his own episode?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Hey, I will. Sorry. Yeah, I will.
I think he just blew his mind. He's like, oh, shit. I might comment on my.
I could do that.
If he doesn't, then our comments are going to be a lot less for this one.
Yeah. We usually hit 20 comments, and 18 of those are from 78. So.
I comment while I watch.
I know. I appreciate it.
I just realized that. I thought you were just messing with us the whole time, and I just put it together that this guy, this guy actually thinks we're live, and we're not acknowledging the comment.
As he's watching, he's making comments. He's like, nobody's responding. I don't get it.
They're not acknowledging me.
Oh, man. But yeah, sport. We're a huge fan of what you do, 78. Obviously, all jokes aside. It's comes from a place of love with you, man. You're a big supporter of the show. I love your toy photography. I love your dioramas. But if anybody out there has been living under a rock, maybe just give us a quick rundown of who you are, what you're all about.
All right. 78 points of articulation is the handle on IG. Similar to Nate and Prime, I guess, started off doing toy photography a little bit, dabbling in there. I'm an architect, and during the pandemic, things slowed down in terms of work. We architects, we make models. I started messing with I bought some dioramas from some local cats out here in Indonesia, and broke them down, studied them, figured out how to make them, and I was like, hey, I know how to do this. And so started making my own dios and messing around, and some cats in the community encouraged me to try and put them out there after a few dudes were like DMing, hey, where do you get it? How can I get it? And a lot of them at that time were kind of like patchworks. Like I'd use a wall from one dude, make a wall, buy bits and pieces and just build the scene out. And Nate's one of the dudes that jumped on very beginning. Took a That's gamble right there. The first one, there's only 14 of those. That's it. And the reason why it was a limited run was logistics at that time. It's gotten a bit better now, but in terms of I can send to individuals, but at that time it was a real hassle to send individually. So I had to figure out how to send it to the family in the States And then they would send it on and all that kind of stuff to try and reduce the costs for people.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, logistics costs haven't gone down, but it's gotten more efficient. So, yeah. Now we do dioramas. And the other thing that happened during that pandemic is well, everybody, the toy community internationally, but locally here as well, got really tight. And, you know, people wanted to collaborate, work together with me and things like that. So we've got a little posse now. I got ex-model makers, like architectural model makers, because their work dropped down during the pandemic. And, you know, they were asking me for work. And I was like, hey, man, we got no big projects that are asking for models. So what I would do is I'd create the master and then work with a team, some of my staff. I mean, every architect that goes through university makes models. We all know how to make models. So I got a staff and we would start producing. So that's how we can do those production numbers and get them out so quick. I got a team, got two teams, and yeah. So usually you can see there's like one or two pre-orders kind of overlap a little bit. But
yeah.
Keep going. And the idea with the dios is every time there's a different theme. So I try and give something for everybody, you know, like all collectors, it's very rare that you just stay in one lane. Like I only collect this line.
Yeah. Right.
So sometimes you want different dios, like a Star Wars dio or a you know, tech future or something. You want an urban one, you want something. But I do tend to go towards the urban stuff a bit more. And lately, really trying to build out the dio world. So like with Nate's there, you know, I gave a lot of accessories. And each one, I try and build those accessories up.
Yeah.
So the last big one was the rooftop diorama.
Right.
And so what I'm thinking of for the next or the next one, I don't know which, I will make a building and that rooftop, people who had the rooftop can go on top of the building.
Right. Yeah.
So it starts just building out.
Right. That's really cool.
More and more. Because, yeah, as, you know, guys who like dioramas, it becomes a different kind of collecting.
Yes.
You start buying little pieces and you want to build out your scene and further, and you make little worlds. And
For sure.
Awesome. And it's fun. And I take input from, you know, from people that give ideas and stuff like that all the time. And sometimes I can do it, sometimes it's just impossible. Like some of the Legions dudes are like asking for Colosseums and things like this. And I'm like, a 1-12 Colosseum, that's a room.
Yeah.
And there's a dude making one, you know?
I'm like, yeah.
He's made a room.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
like the concept of how you're gonna get that into more of a package form and be able to ship that out to people for an affordable price.
That's right.
You gotta think of all that too. It's like, okay, how am I gonna do this? Yeah,
exactly, Nate, that you brought up, like the size of that dio in the background was it fits into a detolf. And you can take it apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy storage. You don't have to keep it like that.
Right.
Because, hey, dials take space, man.
They do.
Figures everything. Take space.
Yeah,
everything. Space is a premium once you're into this thing for, you know, X years.
For sure. Yeah.
Not all of us have tubs full of figures.
There's tubs around.
I like to display my shit, you know?
Yeah, you got to display it. No more tubs. That's it. Anti-tubs this year.
Anti-tubs. I got Ziploc bags everywhere, but you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the rundown on your dioramas. And, you know, like you said, I found you early on. I've been looking for a good dio, you know, and not that anybody else out there is not making good dios, but a lot of the times when you're asking people for dioramas, especially like an urban style, they tend to be quite a bit bigger and quite a bit more expensive. You know, and I've always kind of debated, like, I don't want to invest too much into it, but I really want a diorama. And so I really like your approach to it. You offer a really great price for what you're getting. And like you said, you pack in extras. Like that first dio I got, I didn't expect to have all the newspapers and boxes and trash bags and all kinds of stuff that you're just adding in there to really sweeten the pot. So it feels like, you know, you kind of have a piece of your history in the collection. And I love having the different dials to go to. You know, I've dabbled in quite a few of yours just because I like to have the different scenes. And it's something that I didn't really have a lot in my collection. But yeah, just the way that you can break them down and the usability, man, I'm loving it. So I think you're really doing something awesome. I love the different ideas that you've got. Even right now, for anybody listening, if you're interested in what 78's doing, if you haven't had one of his dials before, you're really missing out. He's doing a city ruins diorama right now, which gives me very much like The Last of Us feels, mm-hmm. kind of like that post-apocalyptic world. Oh, he's got a preview of it right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So again, this is world building. Yeah, I didn't realize about Last of Us when I did this. It was more like, okay, I've done a lot of urban things. Let's break the urban thing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nate will know that like, the brickwork matches the brickwork of some of the previous dios, right? Yep. So you could put this together and have like, oh, I have a broken city block next to a nice city block or something like that.
Yeah. So it's very, very cohesive. You know, you can like going back to your world building, like you can create like a scenario where it's like, oh, a bomb went off or something exploded or, you know, a meteor crashed. It's just so much to the imagination. And I love the fact that the color scheme, it's also, you can see that it all goes together. It's again, very cohesive. So yeah, I love that approach. The rooftop dial goes same color scheme, which to me, it's great. It's genius. It goes with the other dials. It's not so different where you're like, oh, that doesn't, is that made by the same, like, is that the same? It's the same creator. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there is a practical thing about the paints and things like that.
Right, right.
As you know, right, as a guy who makes sense, like, you get it, okay, buy the paint bulk. All right, there's my bricks. There's my concrete.
Yeah, I gotta use my palette. Yeah, that's right.
All right. So there is that, but it was conscious, yeah. So thank you very much. Yeah.
No, and most of us, like those that create, we have a tendency of sticking to the same kind of palette of paint, you know? Like I really like my bricks a certain color, and they're usually always the same color. If for real. I don't really go out of my lane when it comes to certain aesthetics when it comes to dials.
Yeah, yeah. Now I've had that as well. Like when I was doing the Tokyo Alley, that was a response to a lot. Like Nate got the first back alley, and a lot of people like that. But one of the things I do is I never repeat. That's like once the pre-order is done, once the window closes, that's it. I'm not making any more. You can beg. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it because I want to give the people who support, you know, I respect them. And I'm like, okay, you got something special. You're the only one who's got, you know, one of 15, one of 12, whatever it is, a very low number. So, you know. Yeah. There's a bit of that when you do your toy photography, you want to, this is special. This is different. You know, you don't want everyone doing the same thing. So like when you said about the same bricks, when I was trying to do that Tokyo Alley, I kept having to force myself not to do the same thing. Like, it's like, shit, the window's the same size.
Scrap it.
You know, you just do these things. You know, like, all right, the window's this size. Yep. Here's the cross. Yep. Dang, no, make it a narrow window.
No, and I think that speaks volume to the creator because you're really taking your craft to another level where you can mass produce it and everyone's gonna have the same thing. It doesn't make you feel as collectors, at least for most of us, like you want to be like the one that says, oh, this is one, like a lot of us strive on that where we want to find the variant or we want to be like, hey, this is one of 30 or one of 15. I think that speaks volume to your craft. Like, that's awesome. You know, you and I, we go back and forth on DMs giving each other shit, which I love, but exactly. But I mean, like that's, we push each other to the next level, but it speaks volume to your craft where you're keeping it, the window small. And it's like, you either jump on this boat or you wait for the next one. If it's not your cup of tea, but man, yeah, everything you've been doing, I love it. It's awesome.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I mean, you were definitely one of the first guys that I noticed out there as well with the arcades, you know, just Jay Hernandez.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a big thing for you, man. That put you on the map, man. So
yeah, you did.
Yeah. That was dope. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just love, you know, like you said, support. Yeah. I mean, I just love how the toy community offers so many different avenues for different types of diorama makers and customizers. Mm-hmm. Like to your guys' point, we got two great representations here just in this, you know, in this show, and you can kind of just get whatever you want out there. I love that. There's just so many people doing so many different things. So I love just trying to support the community to try to bring that back. And that's for anybody listening. If you like that kind of stuff, then show that kind of support.
Right.
Because you know, you got to basically you got to pay to play kind of thing. If you want people to continue to do that, you got to support those kind of projects. Oh, yeah, otherwise, they're going to stop doing it. And then people are like, well,
I did some head sculpts. That didn't go well.
Well, I respect the courage. You know,
I think like, I'm not doing those anymore.
Yeah, you had a couple of Batman head sculpts and you had the Joker.
The Batman's went well. The Batman's went well. They're gone. And it was the Joker's. I was like, no, people don't. They don't like the Joker so much. So.
I think the Joker's great. It's just a little bit more specific, you know, with the
Batman. It's very specific.
Yeah. So, not that it's not a good head sculpt and you didn't do a great job on it. It just might be somebody not looking for a TD Dark Knight Returns Joker with the Batarang in his eye, you know?
Yeah.
That's all it is. But hey, I think they came out great.
Go back on one of the things you said about like handmade versus production. There is a place for production, man.
Right.
There is a place for production dioramas, that's for sure. You know, it reduces the cost, things like that. There is an aspect of durability as well.
Yep.
You know,
and that's
production models.
That's the great thing about our space is like there's enough space for everyone where you can definitely pick and choose. Like, hey, you want your limited run? I mean, I took a page out of your book where you offered certain spots. I'm like, hey, that's a great idea. Just a limited run. That way I don't overwhelm myself when I started. My approach was more with the budget. I was just keeping it under a certain level or a certain price point because my audience was very specific. I'm like, I'm shooting more for the ones that don't want to spend a lot. And even then, like I told you, I got a bunch of crap where they're like, well, I only got $50. Like, I don't want to spend what? And I'm like, well, you can go get your materials and do it yourself. Because
I know there's a bit of that. There's a bit of that, isn't there?
So, you know, it's like, or go to Target and wait for McFarlane to give you a $34.99 playset that's not probably going to be in scale. They're like
with stickers.
Like you have your options. There's a price point for everyone. And there's all type of collectors where some collectors are like, I'm only going to spend $10 on this. Okay, well, you get what you pay for. But also there's like mass production diorama makers that, hey, that's fantastic. There's all sorts for everyone. So it's... Yeah, and there is some collectors that are strictly like dial collectors. And when I was really heavy into making dials, I would get approached by certain collectors where they're like, "Yeah, I don't care what, you know, I'll drop $300-$400 on a dial." And that was just so overwhelming. Where the project took months to make, you know, it's that I think to me it just took the fun out of it. Where I was like, "I don't want to really dive into that. I'd rather go a different direction."
That was. Yeah, to hop on that point, like I don't do commissions.
Right. Yeah.
Because
it's a dangerous road.
It is. That's right. You know, as an architect, as a designer, like I also avoid doing residences.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a hard process trying to actually understand what the customer, the client wants.
Okay.
Because often they don't know what they want.
Right.
You know, and it's a process and you have to go through that with them. Yeah. So I like our architecture is much more commercial based. So we here's your brief. This is what we need. This is the areas, and we produce
there's
this is the deadline.
There's set parameters.
It's follow, very specific. Code. You know, tick the boxes, get it out. All right, you know.
Yeah,
and we add our flair on top. So I don't do. Yeah, that was one of the things I out the gate. I was like, no commissions. I can't do that. It's like you said, time, stress, and also you don't want to make people upset.
That's
right.
I noticed that in my world that, like, you know, if you don't deliver what they want, they're upset with you. And it's like, well, sorry, I didn't get the instructions right.
Yeah, right. No, and the time spent, like, I when I first got into dials, I was doing a lot of commissions and it was great. But then, of course, you've had your blunders where either I dropped the ball or the client dropped the ball. And there was a lot of time spent messaging, going back and forth. You know, I sketch up something. And then also that, I had to really step up my SketchUp game, and then it went from pen and paper to like digital. And spending, you know, again, I'm not getting paid for this yet, right? Or the money that you're giving me is like, if you break it down to the hour, I'm probably making $2 an hour.
It's nothing.
Right?
If you break it down per hour. No. This don't make
money. It's like this now I might as well go work at McDonald's or something. So, I had this one really experience where it was a lot of back and forth. I think we messaged each other for like a full 30 days. And at the end of it, he was like, I don't like it. I want this. And I'm like, you know what, dude? Like, we're done. Like, we're just not compatible. We're not seeing eye to eye.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I'm done with
that's
commissions.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
It's just too and open I think for that's interpretation.
Also, yeah.
Yep. And that's kind of kept me also, able to keep going, keep producing and things like that. You know?
Yeah.
You don't get bogged. Right. Yeah, not to, you know, there's again, like you said, this Dio world, there's enough space for everybody.
Yeah.
And you notice the guys who do commissions, sometimes they go a bit quiet
right.
on their social media because they're busy working on something private.
Right, right.
So the idea was like, all right, you know, as a brand, to keep producing a product, get out
there. Yeah.
So I was like, nope.
No, I really like the way that you do it. You know, you usually you'll tease like a little image of something, you know. You might not even say anything. You'll just put like a little image and that's it. And I know I've DM'd you a couple of times like with eyes. Like, what is that? You know?
I got a local guy who made some trees. You know, I took a photo the other night immediately. Is this the next Dio? I'm like, I can't send trees to people. That thing just logistically is just not going to happen.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah. But yeah, you do a lot of different themes. Like I said, I really like the process of how you kind of roll it out. You'll show a bunch of pictures and you'll put a video together, really nice quality product shots, just showing off all the different angles, how you can put it together, the different pieces, how it kind of like, you know, the modulability of it. And then you put up a pre-order and you usually list all the details there, you know, like how many you're making, what it all comes with. You get this open pre-order window. And I love that it's limited. I think that's really cool. You're not going back and remaking pieces. Because to your point, if you really want this, and you're going to have to jump on it now. Like, you're not going to get another chance to get it later. I've had people DM me for some of updated shots of your dials. They're like, hey, is that dial for sale? I missed out on it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to sell this thing. You know what I mean? Because then I'm going to regret not having it. But you've done what? You're up to 9 dials now?
We're up to 9, man. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Pushing 100 and something dioramas in the last like 14 months.
That's crazy.
It's kind of crazy.
A lot.
I had to take a step back the other day and like count. I was like, holy crap, we've done over 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's in a fairly short amount of time too. I don't know exactly when you put your first one up, but it was... Got to say, not more than 2 years ago, if that.
No, not even. Like that one in the background, I think that was like a November, the year before last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's a lot. That's a lot to produce. Because you're doing like, you know, 14 to, I think you're up to 21 is usually what you produce.
The now. Max, was the rooftop. I did the 21. I knew that one would hit.
Yeah.
And it did. I still get DMs, like multiple DMs a week. Hey, can I buy the rooftop? Sorry, bro.
Man, I've wanted a rooftop for so long. I don't think I wasted any time jumping on that one when you put it up.
And then, you know, like that rooftop, I had it in like the back of my head, like, okay. And I, you know, I'd go like on Google Images, Pinterest and things. And I was like, you know, using real buildings as references. But then it was during one of my comic digs or hunts, and I saw that Detective Comic cover and I was like, that's it. I can make that. And it loops back.
Yeah,
you know, and it that was the time that Mezco 2-pack dropped, and I was like, oh fuck,
that was like perfect timing.
I was like, oh fuck, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, and you did a promo shot of basically that exact
same. I tried cover. To do that.
That was awesome.
Yeah. It came out fantastic.
But I did really like I made sure like the clock hand, like you can see it comes off a little bit, so you can get the figure's hand in there.
Mm-hmm.
Two-Face doesn't quite have the right hand to hang. So I was like, okay, he's leaning on there.
Killer.
Yeah. Oh, this sells it right here, though. You know exactly what you're getting here. You're like, oh, shit. I can recreate scenes like this, you know?
And then, you know, how to, like, with that fire stare, like, how to figure to get that fire stare in the box without taking too much space. You know, and Nate knows, like, it's individual pieces, just like,
yeah, like paper, I was wondering.
Paper model kind of thing.
Yeah, I was like, how big is this box going to be? And how much does this really collapse? But, you know, what you're seeing here in this shot, everything collapses. So, like, everything's a different piece. I think even this fire escape, you have it 4 different pieces that you have to kind of put it together.
Yeah, 4 pieces.
It all slots together.
Yeah.
You know, the water tower, you have to kind of build yourself as well. Which it's very simple though. You know, I say build yourself. You're talking about you know, just snapping pieces together. You know exactly how it works. Even the bottom, this piece comes off here, you know, these individual walls. I love how you included the windows in there. It's just a beautiful piece. And you can really see your architectural background come through on your work. Very fine lines, you know, square corners, everything kind of flows together. it looks like you really kind of take your time designing it, and it comes out in the final product for sure. But yeah, I mean, you've done a lot of different themes. I think your second one was an ancient ruins dio. So you're doing, you know, kind of like, I consider that like Mythic Legion style.
Or it can really be anything fantasy. Like that second one, it had the arch, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I also called it a mythic arch.
Yeah, mythic arch.
that was a bit heavy-handed there, but hey.
You did the skull
cave. That was definitely, that was something that, I wanted that. Mm-hmm. I wanted that, you know? And then I wanted pieces. I wanted a ruin. So I was like, all right, use the magnets to, you can have a complete arch or you can break it down. And then you remember, it's kind of like raised the base a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do those angles. So, you know.
Yeah,
get a bit in there, and then we gave the throne because, Conan was coming out.
Yeah,
I was like, he needs a throne, so we did that, you know. And then the last thing was like to get the there was an Easter Island kind of head sculpt on there, which is really random.
Yeah,
right. That was totally random, but it was like, how can we put something in there that like we had space in the box? It's like, you know, we had some foam, and it was like, what can we do that doesn't take too much time? That's a bit unusual or unique, you know. It's like, if we do a totem pole, maybe no, but like it's like, all right, Easter Island.
That's awesome.
Genius. Random as hell, but
just the more I've said this in the show a few different times. I love props just as much as I love figures.
Yeah, man.
So like the more you can throw in as like props and things like that, I love it. Because I'm like, that's something I can throw into a shot, or you know. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason why I think I'm attracted to the dios, is that it gives me more to add to a scene or foreground, background, like we've talked about in Dirty Tricks, things like that.
They love the foreground.
I do.
You love your foreground, man.
I do. Yeah. I'm always putting something in the foreground, like smoke or something. Oh, that's awesome. That's what the city ruins, right?
Yeah, it's the city ruins. So you get a bunch of loose.
That's back. Awesome.
Stuff that you can put in the foreground.
Yeah.
There you go.
Foreground. Nate loves his those little smoke effects in the foreground.
I do, man. I'm addicted to using those. That's for sure.
Just there in the corners.
Just fills up that negative space. That's really what I'm trying
to do. Oh, I get it, man. I get it. Rule of thirds, all that. You know?
Yeah. And for those listening, you're missing out. You should watch the video because 78 is just doing a lot of finger stuff.
Yeah.
He's showing a lot of pillars. And he's like voguing on camera. So for those audio listeners, you guys missing out.
Plus those amazing rings, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I reduced the rings today.
You did.
You did that specifically for Prime.
I thought he was gonna come up with more.
You know,
I wanted to. He didn't want to mess up the Wi-Fi. We share the Wi-Fi.
That's right, the McDonald's Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So we've taken a deep walk down the dial stuff. But what about you collecting? Have you always been a collector? And I've jumped onto your guys' streams, and I try not to get too heavy-handed or get too caught up in the chats. But you collect a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's a problem, man. Yeah,
but you're also international, so that is that tough? Is that easy?
It's ask.
I mean, you guys have this thing of international versus domestic. You know, everything's international here, man.
Yeah.
So it does change the way you buy because Marvel Legends out here are close to Japanese toy prices, you know.
Oh wow.
So let's say your Legends is pushing $45 here.
Yeah.
So, wow.
And we get, you know, you can get your Mafexes, like, because it's international, there's two options. You can get it airmail, so it comes in like a week or a few days, or they do it sea mail, which is 3 months later, but the price, you don't pay for shipping.
Yeah.
So you can get it for Japanese retail almost.
Oh wow.
And so you know, like with Bandai lately, some of their bigger, you know, brands or their bigger IPs, they'll do a toy for $25.
Oh, wow.
Right. And so it's like, do I buy the Legends or do I buy an SHF sometimes?
Yeah.
Sometimes SHF is like considerably cheaper. So I do a lot of Japanese figures. And because of the business trade with China as well, we get a lot of Chinese stuff coming in and the prices are. And sometimes cheaper than the American retailers, like cheaper than 5K.
Yeah.
So there is a benefit. Things do come, like, it's weird. Sometimes we get Legends before the States.
Yeah.
You know, like I had, or like Classified, I had the Bats before, like they came out in Asia before anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So they had bats, and like, yeah, I posted the bats, and people are hitting me up. Oh, where'd you get it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you get them from the factory? I'm like, no, they're just here, man. They're just available.
Get them from the factory.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of a misunderstanding of geography. Like,
yeah,
there, like the factory's around the corner from me or something. It's like,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guy in our Discord. He's always giving me shit about that. Like, you can just walk down the street and grab them.
Yeah.
Like, no,
he's on his lunch break and he took it off the production.
Oh, man. Exactly. So there's a bit of that. But yeah, I do dabble nowadays in these random, like, unknown third parties.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, there's this thing of trying to find not just the new figure, but like a new thing, like a new, right. You know, like I've been into these random Asian gangsters.
Yeah. Yep.
Bob Toys. These are the same, I believe they're the same dudes that are doing like the cartoon versions of the movie characters. Uh-huh. Like they had the Silence of the Lambs, and they had Forrest Gump recently, and then just recently they put up for order what's his name? Brad Pitt from Inglorious Bastards.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I think it's the same kind of
from The Shining.
Yeah.
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 They're just random funny dudes, you know. I'm gonna have them getting beaten up or beating up people or something, you know.
They kind of that he looks a little bit like the Metal Slug figure too.
Yeah. A bit, but yo, the Metal Slug figures, they're top tier guys.
Man. Yeah,
I've heard so many.
I gave you a bunch of shit with your pictures. I told man, you're tempting me so much with these. Like,
no, man, no, they're oh my god,
yeah,
killing it.
Like, I took a gamble. I like you know, I do that. I take a gamble on these more unknown brands.
Yeah,
You get some duds every now and then, some stinkers. You know, a couple of us bought that Punisher from last year, the Revenger.
Yeah.
Oh, that was absolute trash, man.
Yeah.
That was that kinda, so bad. He barely stayed together.
Yeah, that looked like it. But man, these ones.
This is killer.
I've been seeing his pictures and I'm like, dude, you need to knock it off. Like, I'm going to block you because I can't. Like, this is all bad.
These are incredible, man. Oh, that's
the rocket in there.
I put it on a flight stand and then photoshopped the flight stand out, man.
Cool.
Nice.
That's awesome. I love it. You're so creative with your toy photography, man. Your scenes and kind of just the figures that you use. You can see you're kind of just like, you know, the sky's the limit. There's really your imagination is just all over the place. I love it.
Yeah. And that's, you can see like through my photos, like I don't have like, oh, this is the line I collect.
Yeah.
It goes everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Right.
It goes everywhere. It is dangerous in that way. Like you guys are saying, you know, like we got to kind of calm down this year. I'm trying. It's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, man. Budget life. There we go.
That's right.
But, budget life. Being out in Asia, you also get random bootleg things.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, like this is that
from Dark Souls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a light in there, which it doesn't work because it's a solid piece, but you know, this is like
that's interesting.
Bucks. Huh. Some guy just recast it. It's from Alibaba and you can buy it locally.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, is Alibaba down the street from the factory that
you for real? It's just behind it, man.
Just the factory right next door.
It's behind it. The factory's in front. Alibaba's behind there. I grabbed my lunch in between, right? Yeah. And I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
Yo,
buddy.
Hey, it's 78.
Yo, Bob. Bob Toys. What up?
What I'm here for my haul. I'm here for my weekly haul. Because then you also pick up comics too, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're dropping some, like, man. He's
a big comic collector.
Oh, this is, so this is like Webman.
Oh,
yeah.
Webman's first appearance. There he is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I mean, it's not worth that much. It's just a fun
thing. Yeah.
So those
I do comics.
Yeah.
I do comics. My in-laws hate it because I do order weekly.
Yeah.
And I send them to my in-laws in the States. And then when I visit, I bring them back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they got this big stack.
Oh, yeah. It's bad.
But, so do you stay current on all like storylines?
Yeah. So I read digitally. I subscribe to Comixology and things like that. And with what I buy physically, it's you know, limited, definitely. But I read more than I buy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm still a sucker for most of the X-Men titles, usually the one or two Batmans, and then some indies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Is that something you've always, like, were you collecting comics before you're collecting toys, or was it kind of the same thing?
When I was a kid growing up in Indonesia, I moved a lot as a kid. We were in Indonesia when I was a little kid for a minute, and my dad was working all over the world in marketing and stuff. And whenever he would come back, he'd bring a toy. I was like, you know. Wow. So like Motu was big, and then he brought back Joe's, and that kind of blew my mind. That was like articulation. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And then I started visiting my grandmother in Japan during summer. Like, my parents would send me there for a month and a half, and I'd just be there. And that then, you know, what was going on over there. Mm-hmm. There was just something, the Joes really revolutionized it. Cause it used to be like when you went to Japan, you get the Ultraman toys with these like rubber 5-point figures, like this big, you know, like bathtub toy kind of shit, rubber ducky shit. And then the Joes came out, and then you started getting these developments, and you got super, you know, the, what were they called? The, those guys that had the gold armor and stuff you could put on them. Yeah. Anyway, articulation became my thing, and then I got hooked. Then we moved to Australia, and my dad was into comics when he was a kid, and he took me to a comic store when I was like not 8, and that just blew
your mind.
Blew my mind. Like, there's just like, holy shit. And I think I picked up an X-Men book, Spidey and X-Men and Batman, I think, and then I was hooked. So I've been reading, collecting comics since I was a little kid.
That's awesome.
Unfortunately, through moving and things like that, the collection got lost here and there. But I used to have like a full run of X-Men.
Oh, wow.
Like all of it.
Yeah.
I was
butthurt that I don't have that anymore.
And you're still heavy into the single issues. So you're still collecting.
I am. Yeah. I still, I buy the floppies, the weekly floppies. Yeah.
Are you just not you get trades too, or are you just really?
Oh, yeah. More? Like, so. With the floppies, like it's more like, oh, I'm collecting like the X-Men thing, the main X-Men line. I just keep buying, but I also buy those absolute, those massive hardcovers of the omnibuses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to read those.
Yeah,
it's more fun to read those. Like, you sit down, and I'll buy, like, even if I have a floppy, I'll buy that again sometimes because it's like they did all the old school Chris Claremont, John Byrne X-Men. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just the quality of the image now, because they've rescanned it, recolored it, and things like that. So it just looks nicer.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, there's something about newsprint. It's fun. It smells, you know, a touch. But hey, some of those books are, you know,
valuable,
worth a bit of money. And I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
My idea is that the omnibuses will go to the kids.
Yeah.
Single issues get graded or sold.
Yeah.
People going, hey, kids, put down that book. Read a comic.
Yeah, like. I'm a sucker for like variants or either like certain artists that do like, you know, one of 25 whatever. Like, I'm a sucker for those. Like, there's certain artists where I'm like, I love everything that they do.
I do a lot of cover buys, man.
Yeah, and I've seen some of that you share. Like, there was a Harley Quinn one I think that you shared some time ago, and I was like, man, this guy's gonna get me back on this comic book bug. I can't do it, because I'd get crazy. Like, I would get certain variants, and then, you know, if there's a con near me, I'm like, yep, I'm gonna do whatever it takes. And I went through this phase where I was just hunting down certain writers or artists just to get the signature. That was such an awesome experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, like, we used to have a con in Australia once a year.
Yeah,
Australian Comic Con. And like, I remember, like, when Jim Lee came out.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I was like, got that first X-Men.
Gotta get it.
Colossus holding up. Yeah. The rubble.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's so. I met Jim Lee once. I got him to sign that. I got him to sign that cover. I got him to sign Deathblow issue number one.
Oh, word.
And I got him to sign something else. But then I was wearing like this Stormtrooper shirt, or I was wearing the Star Wars shirt, and it was the Stormtrooper helmet, and it was like by Mark Echo back in the day. And then Jim Lee's like, can I take a picture with you? He's like, I love your shirt. And I was like, what? What, you want to take a picture? And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Like,
he wants to take a picture of your shirt, not you, man.
Yeah, not you. He's cutting off at the neck. He's like, take the shirt off. And I was like, yeah, whatever you want. Wear my shirt. No, but he was such a cool dude. Like, man, it was awesome. Like, some of those cons, they're definitely one for the books.
For real, for real. Yeah.
I went through my comic phase as well, where I was collecting single issues, but I've definitely dialed back a lot. I really just do trades now, but I still love comics. You know, it's just, I think for a lot of us that do collect figures, it's sort of where some of that passion started. At least for me, that's where my love for Batman started, was in the comics. Getting to know the character and then seeing it in figure form. You're like, okay, now this translates very well. And then even into toy photography, I think it's all kind of meshes together where I can create my own sort of comic art with these figures.
We can't illustrate, right? That's probably the thing.
I can't illustrate with a shit.
I can draw straight lines really well, but
I mean, I can't
get the Sharpie.
Yeah, I got my Sharpie and that's about all I can do. I got my toy photography, but when it comes to customizing, diorama making, none of that stuff, I can't do it. So that's why I stick to the experts, you guys. It's just where did the toy photography start working in? You know, where did you start experimenting with that?
During the pandemic again. I've always had a collection. My collection's kind of scattered around the world as well. So now that I've kind of set up shop here, living here with the family, working here, we kind of put roots down here. During the pandemic, I was like, had the time and started just, with the iPhone taking photos of the collection. And I was like, I've always had the camera and stuff. Like, that's a 11, 12 year old camera there.
Nice.
At that. And then it's a Canon. Canon 5D Mark III.
Awesome.
They're phasing that model out, unfortunately. Well, they're all going mirrorless now, right? So.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand why. I like that sound. I like the sound of the thing moving.
Yeah, but those are like you said, I don't know how much you spend on that, but I've told the people this before. If you're just experimenting with DSLRs, you don't need to spend a lot of money. Just find something that, is easy to use, because you really got to learn the settings, right? You got to learn what everything's doing, how to modify the shot, how to get the light the way you want it.
For real.
And I feel like a lot of the times people feel like they need to go out and buy this mirrorless $2,000 camera, and they don't even know what the hell they're doing with it. So, if you're thinking about getting a camera, start small, start cheaper.
Correct. Yeah.
Because you can keep that for a very long time.
Oh yeah. I mean, there is something to be said, there is a threshold. Like if you go below $200, let's say, the camera's not going to be that great, and it's not going to last that long maybe. So I was fortunate enough. Like when I was in university, I started doing documentation as a weekend part-time job, for events, conferences, and that kind of stuff. And being a guy who used to play music in venues, I won't say the word. I knew how to do audio visual. I knew how to set up sound systems and shit like that. So I've always had a pretty decent camera. And the reason I didn't start using the DSLR with toy photography was I was trying to avoid going there. Like, I don't want to make this a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
After a while, I like doing the photography. The iPhone is really limited. Mm-hmm. And there's guys who do really well with it, man. But I was like, no. All right. And I pulled out the DSLR. And then it was like, I know how to use Photoshop because I do it for work all the time. I was like, all right. And then, about after 6 months of messing with the iPhone and stuff, I took a plunge. And then the lighting, like you mentioned, lighting, that takes a while. Like you just got to mess around, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to mess around there. Yeah. Notice. Yeah. A primal now. Notice the way the turntables are rotated.
There you go.
There you go. Because he knows what he's doing.
I love this. This is so cool.
All right. So yeah, the lighting, that took a while to kind of learn. Like I'd known it from real life size kind of thing, and then translating it to a smaller scale, but it kind of clicked just through experimentation. And so I think Nate would be the same, talking about lighting. It's you just gotta keep playing,
right?
Keep having fun, and then something just unlocks.
Yep.
And then now when you set up your shots, probably Nate, you kind of already know where the lights should be instinctively.
Right.
It doesn't take as long anymore. Yeah, once you get your shot and you set up the camera and you start looking through the lens, you're going to adjust them and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you kind of already know, right?
Right. The more you do it, the more you experiment.
Yeah.
To your point, when you're setting up a shot, it takes away some of the what I'm going to do, because I'm like, okay, I know where I'm going to place the lights, how I'm going to light the figures.
And you know what's going to go in the foreground.
Yeah, what's going to go in the foreground? My smoke effects, right?
Oh, he might be 78. Might be a resident commentator and official second host now. I love this.
Yeah, you should do. Like
I can just sit back and enjoy it.
Modeling.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I like he's bringing up your foreground. I love it.
Yeah. He's great. He's very observant that way.
Yeah, he is.
But yeah, I mean, it's just to your point, like you just got to get out there and you got to do it. And you got to keep trying over and over and over again. Because it's not going to come
having fun. Like you guys say that a lot as well. You got to have that fun factor. If it starts becoming tedious or frustrated, maybe it's not the thing for you.
Yeah, maybe it's not for you. Right. Yeah. I think it's a hard realization for some people because, like, no, I want to be a toy photographer.
Yeah.
But then they get so frustrated with it. And, you know, they spent 10 minutes trying to do it or 10 minutes or an hour trying to do a shot. And they're like, fuck this. It's not coming out the way I want. And you leave it.
Yeah.
And it happens to me all the time. And I think for me, even now, I have to have the inspiration in order to actually do a shot. I've been slowing down a lot just because, I don't know, my inspiration's kind of ebbing and flowing a lot lately. Where I'll have an idea and I'll get it. And then other times I don't have an idea for 2 weeks and I don't do anything.
If you buy this guy, you'll get inspired.
Yeah, he looks great.
And he's showing off the Yamaguchi Black Panther.
Yeah,
so I think it's dope. It's definitely tempting.
I mean, I don't know how it is for you guys, but for me, it's often like the figure gives the inspiration. Like the new figure comes in, you play with it in your hand, you get a pose, and you're like, oh, that's dope. I want to take a photo of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah? Does that happen? I mean, sometimes there's like, I want to recreate the comic, or I want to recreate the poster or the scene in the movie.
Sometimes.
Yep. Yo, mine arrived at my warehouse, my shipping warehouse.
Oh, nice.
Send it.
You excited?
I'm very excited, man.
Yeah, where do you stand? I mean, I know you don't have it in hand, but from what you've seen, what do you think so far?
Oh, it's happened with the soups just recently. Like the first photos to market. Oh crap! I was like, guys, slow down, Whoever took that photo, they just took a snap on their iPhone. You know?
Yeah, get out of your kitchen.
Yeah.
Stop using fluorescent lights. Stop doing that.
You know.
Get off your Motorola Sidekick. Get a better phone, you know.
So I really reserve judgment till I saw real dudes getting it in hand, you know, and posing and taking photos. And then the other thing was like they kept putting on white hot backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, guys, this wasn't quite. This was designed to be something from the '89 movie, which was all dark, you know, and he's always in the shadows and there's smoke, misties. Right. everywhere, so you know Nate did a shot recently and there you go, it starts shining, you know, the figure comes to life and you're like there it is. And you know the criticism of the mobility or the articulation, I think people are proving, you know, I think, you know, shout out to Toy Page, she just did the Jean-Claude Van Damme scene, right?
That was awesome,
that was dope, and
it's like yo, show me another Mezco that can do that.
No,
I don't think we got one, man. Even the Gomez Bucks can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Just Jay got it recently and he did some shots and really showing off the movement. To your point, I love when guys like that get it in hand. It's like, okay, let's see what they can do with it.
Yeah.
And now it's looking dope, right? Now everyone's like, ooh, okay, this thing's good.
So yeah, now a lot of people are looking for it.
Oh, yeah. And then
who has one for sale?
They got their orders canceled.
Yeah.
Ooh. People are upset.
Ouch. People are pissed.
There's something about this release. It just upset a lot of people.
Oh, man.
It got into people's feelings.
Yeah, I've said this before, but there's nothing that would save like the 89 Batman once it gets his hands. Because it's been too long. People are already just pissed. To your point, I don't know. People just like to get angry about it. So I saw even when people started saying good things, we're like, oh, yeah, all these Mezco enthusiasts keep saying, there you go. There's the second one. How many you got on the way? 78?
I accidentally ordered 4.
Oh,
accidentally. Because so I got the pre-order from Mezco. I got one. Yeah. I got one. And then I wanted another one a few months later. And it was all sold out. So I went through one of the comic stores, got one through a comic store. And then I got one through a trade. And then I was one night, it popped up on BBTS.
Oh, okay.
Like, what? And I was like,
they haven't canceled that one because BBTS has been sending out emails.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'll check my emails. Maybe it's great. Maybe
today it was like that BBTS.
The second one got shipped from the comic store. Got shipped.
Nice, nice.
I think BBTS put up more when Mezco accidentally put up more.
Yeah.
Oh no, this was a good year and a half ago.
Oh okay.
Oh okay. Yeah.
So hopefully you're all right. But yeah, to Prime's point, I think people have been getting BBTS cancellations because of the fact that Mezco's like, oh, we're not fulfilling those orders from March 6th. Sorry. Yeah.
One was the canceled. Another one they got pushed back till the third quarter of this year.
Oh wow!
So sell it while it's hot, man. It's like some sneakers. Man. We got a week.
Yeah.
Drop it.
Well,
drop
we all know 78 lives down the street from the factory, so he could probably.
Yeah, he'll just grab you one.
I'll just grab you one.
Yeah. He's there every day. They know him. But are you into this? Are you a sneaker collector too?
I used to be, and it was around. I don't know if you guys know your kicks, but like the Miami Beach LeBrons, that's when I got out because I noticed like a new generation coming in. Mm-hmm. My thing was Jordans and Dunks and the old Air Maxes.
Ones.
Up to about 95. 97s I don't fuck with so much. 95. All the older stuff, old Huaraches and things like that. And then I started noticing this like influx of the newer, younger cats and prices just went bananas. And it was for shit that I didn't
like. It's insane.
What? We're paying $1,000 for a fucking LeBron and you're going to leave the OG Jordan over there? Like, nah, man.
Nah. Yeah, the aftermarket is getting
Get that J in the OG color, man. Leave that LeBron, man. That's new. That just came out. That's a new. Nah. So,
yeah.
Man. But I used to flip shoes and stuff like that as well. So
it's a great market. I've always been a Nike fan, but never been a huge, you know, flipper collector. But recently I'm getting more into it, and I got the Air Max OGs.
The 87 Reds, right?
Yeah.
That's a really comfortable shoe, man.
Really cool shoe. I'm like tempted if I even want to like put it on though. I'm like, man, I don't know.
Oh, you're all right because it's got a mesh toe box, so it's all good, man. You're not gonna crease the toe box.
You're not gonna.
All right. Yeah, because the creases.
Walking like all.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing those kind of dudes. Yeah, oh, man, that was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't want to crease his toe box, especially the J1. Jordan 1s, man, that thing, like,
yeah.
The Jordans, yeah, they have all that leather, so they crease so easily. Mm-hmm. But to your, the Air Maxes are a little bit different. But that's funny. Yeah, I'm trying not to get into something else to collect. But
yeah, I was going to say, I'm quite the segue, but I love it.
I know. Get all these notifications. Yeah, the other thing was giving Jane like, hey, this is coming out like, Saturday.
Shoes don't last here.
Like, yeah.
If you don't wear your shoes here, they just crumble. It was nothing like I had some Jordan 4s, cement 4 whites. Oh, from the 99 retro, and I pulled them out in like an 04, put my foot through the shoe. Like I put them on, and just like the whole sole fell off as I put my foot through. I was like,
damn.
Oh, wow. I was like, all right, I can't do this anymore. I just got to wear everything.
Yeah.
You can't keep anything on ice.
Yeah. And so you were born in Indonesia?
No, I was born in Tokyo.
Tokyo. Wow.
I was born in Tokyo, yeah.
Okay. You've been around a lot.
Yeah, so Tokyo, London, Jakarta, Indonesia, and Sydney, Australia.
Nice.
The main, the longest stints. I've been in other places for shorter stints, but those are the long ones.
How often do you get back to the U.S.? I know you said you have
in-laws. Since I got married about 10 years ago, my in-laws are in the States. So the funny thing is, like, the family, all my relatives kind of moved away from the States over the years.
Mm.
So I hadn't been back. Like the last time was like early thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been to the States. And then now that I got family there, it's like we try and do a rotation. 1 year there, 1 year they visit. 1 year we go there.
Mm, so. Okay.
I was there Christmas before last. Yeah. We got stuck there. We're stuck there like almost 2 months. It was crazy.
Oh, shit. Wow. So they got a fat stack at the in-laws' house of those comics right now.
Oh man. So yeah, I'm fortunate, like the comic store, they send like when the box fills up, they'll send it instead of like every week.
Yeah.
But when that box comes, my father is like, "What is this? It weighs so much."
Yeah.
Giant so white box. It was like when the HasLabs hit. It's like, "What the hell are these?" Oh like, yeah,
those are the Galactus Sentinels.
Yeah, toy. Yeah, like, all right, just goes in the garage.
And this may sound like a weird comment, but your English is really good for not, you know, ever living in the United States.
So, yeah, that's, I went to, growing up, I went to international schools. So, until I hit Australia. So the international English that's taught is U.S. English, and dad being from the States, which is kind of, you know, I can speak like an Australian, but I tend not to. I know how to do it, but I tend not to.
Yeah. I guess you pick up dialects as you live in different places, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, for you guys, I probably don't sound too American. I sound kind of like a strange mix of something. Like, you wouldn't be able to pick, oh, he's from the West Coast or the East Coast.
Right.
Or
yeah. That,
right.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
I actually had no idea that you were, I mean, until I got your first dial, which has like the sticker that you include with it.
Oh yeah.
It says, you know, in Indonesia, established in Indonesia. I'm like, oh shit. I didn't even know you were international.
Yeah.
Before you'd sent me that.
Oh yeah. 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 I get that a lot. Like, why is your shipping DHL $90?
Yeah.
Like, in another country, man.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? Yeah. But you speak English.
That's it.
Classic American phrase right there. Huh? Speak English.
You speak English.
Everybody's from America.
Yeah.
Konnichiwa, bitches. Sorry.
But that's, you know, that's a struggle too with the shipping, like you're talking about. International shipping rates have been all over the place and have gotten more and more expensive throughout the pandemic, which you try to be really upfront with, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I try.
Anytime I've pre-ordered, you're like, hey, just so you know, shipping is insane for me right now, so it's going to be a little bit more costly. Are you in or are you out? You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, and I, you know, I just, I share the receipts for the shipping, man.
Yeah, yeah. Because people probably don't believe you.
Here you go. I'm not making this up. Here it is. Go to the website, DHL.
Look, you can only imagine.
And I've been fortunate that I use my friend's corporate account, so I get a little discount, and I tell people, if you went by yourself, it would be $120. I give it to you for $90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, once I send it out, they use like a portal, man. Like, it arrives in 2-3 days. It's crazy.
I get it super quick usually. Yeah, you'll send me shit tracking, and I'll have it in my hand within like the week.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So some guys like in Europe, they get it in 48 hours. I'm like, I don't know how they do that. It's like when we were doing DHL with AmiAmi and Japanese sites, right? That shit's crazy fast.
Yeah, it is.
Right. Yeah, and are you seeing that's getting better now since the pandemic? Kind of like, so,
I don't know, man. Like, there's statistics, like there's news, like logistics, international logistics has returned to a post-pandemic price. And then DHL goes, we're just going to raise our prices by 8.9%. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they can.
This is not adding up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not cool. Like, we've all had all the imports, the prices have gone up for shipping.
Yeah.
It's just DHL, because they, during the pandemic, they really, really, really secured their position as number one. They really beat out FedEx. Unfortunately. Well, this is a really exciting topic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, on top of all this,
I know.
We don't want to bore you with shipping costs.
Let's talk about
anymore.
The stock market now.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about other things that can put you guys to sleep. But on top of all this, everything that we're talking about that you're doing, toy photography, diorama making, you're also part of a podcast called Lost Cause Collective.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. How'd you guys get together? What was the idea?
We met on a Discord. Yeah, we met on a voice chat on Discord. And we felt in the last... You know, everyone, there's, like you said about the diorama world, there's a place for everybody. It's a big community. And one of the things that we wanted to really do is showcase news. That was the thing. Like, there was so much stuff coming out, and like the third party stuff, the more, you know, obscure things, like, talk about those as guys who buy them.
Right.
Not just, you know, oh, there's a thing out. I don't know what it is. Is it good? Like, I mess with them. I buy them.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's talk about these, you know, whether it's some of the more
waifu for life.
Waifu. Let me guess, is that snail shell?
Snail shell. Oh boy. Oh my. Oh boy.
I've only learned about snail shell through you and Mario.
Oh boy. Oh yeah. Yeah.
The waifus.
Yeah. So
are those model kits? Are you building
that?
Not. Oh, okay.
No, they're figures. They're exceptional. Think of as good, if not better, than Figma.
Okay.
Very, very good figures, you know. And also talking about some of the more obscure lines, like from SHF, you know.
Something
from Elden Ring, which I didn't see anybody talk about. So
yeah.
Trying to showcase a bit more, not just the big boys, you know, whether it's the Hasbro, this or that, you know, trying to do that. And yeah, just go news. I do a little thing on the comic stuff, like what's coming out. Yeah, not so much banter, just news. Just try and do that.
We've been doing that. Still have a fun time, though. You know, even though you say you don't have a lot of banter, you guys are still...
Oh, there's some banter. There's definitely some banter.
Oh, yeah. The problem is, like, we encourage drinking.
Yeah.
We encourage...
After about 2 hours.
Yeah.
We encourage drinking. So, you know, there's drinking before the show or whatever it is you want to do, you know.
You want to do something else, go ahead, man. It's all good.
Right? And, you know, and creating a space for guys who maybe, you know, don't fit into other things, you know, like, oh, I don't feel quite comfortable on this place, you know, like a outcast place, but, you know, yeah. And so guys are coming, joining the Discord. I mean, Nate's been in the Discord. There's a lot of information. And even the Discord is just like sharing info. The voice chat's where it gets a bit wild and fun. But, you know, hey, it's like bars, right? You know,
different
bars, man. It's like different bars, man.
Right.
You know, you go to that bar, you go to this bar. Yeah. Hey, well, there's another bar down the road. That
whether you like dive bars or hipster bars
around the corner in the basement.
That's Lost Cause Collective.
That's where we're at. You know.
Yeah.
Just well, do it out, pass hey, out in the alleyway.
Yeah, but you guys got Omar the Mantra V man.
Yeah.
He's all about
Omar. Yeah. Omar V. He's doing very well. He's taking the hostess with the most. He's doing very well, man. Now he's our lead, you know. And Johnny's there. He's been collecting toys forever, like hard, man. So he's a bit of our encyclopedia on, like, especially the domestic lines. And he loves his Power Rangers and things like that. But he also messes with really obscure shit, like those Astro Bots, the toilet bots.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Like,
didn't those make his top 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I still gotta buy those, man.
You know. These things are cool. I've been tempted. You got the porta potty and the toilet. Yeah, I love it. It's so cool.
Like, yeah. So you know, yeah. Like, who messes with toilet bots? You know, I was like, all right. We became friends through that. Like, yeah, okay. And we just do the thing.
That's awesome.
Once a week. Yeah, we may expand on it. You know, to like, we have fun talking about shows as well. Because we're into all of it, right?
I mean, you're
into the figures. Right. You're into the shows. You're probably reading some of the comics. So it's kind of also like, hey, it's a hangout to talk about that stuff. But we try and keep it news.
Yeah.
You know, try and every week go through as many of the action figure news as possible. And that takes 2 hours, man.
There's a lot of news sometimes. Yeah. You guys do a great job. You know, you've got yourself, like we talked about, Omar V, Johnny Number Cinco, Will Flow, 81.
Yeah, Will's been regular lately, and Cerebral Deep's in there. We've got a cast. Futuric, we call him Eric because
a lot of cool cats from around the
actually, you know, and everybody like, on there.
Boncho's our dude. My bad, he's our dude. And he's like, he does like his paint sessions during the stream.
That's cool.
He'll be painting his figures, his customs and things like that, and he'll show how he does it. Johnny's doing printing now, so he'll show his things, what he's doing in the printing. So there's also that side, like everybody's a bit creative. But you know, it's like I said, it's an open place. If you're interested in joining the Discord, join the Discord, jump in the voice chat, and you know, and if you feel comfortable, you'll probably be on the show within a week.
Yeah.
Like one of the new guys that jumped in the voice chat, Aiden Skate. We had a good chat last night and we're like, yo, you want to come on? And he's like, really? And we're like, yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
So he's on the show this weekend.
There you go. That's great. Yeah, I love Aiden Skate. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's got good music taste.
He's a regular on our live on Mondays.
I know.
That's right.
Yeah. He's always in the Motivation Mondays.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys, if you haven't caught Lost Cause Collective, make sure you subscribe to them on YouTube. They go live on Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I believe, right?
Yep.
Perfect.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. So definitely go check them out. Great group of guys. Lots of information you get in there, and they have a fun time, you know. I learned a lot about comics through 78. You're like a comic guru. It's insane how much you know. When we get into the comic section, it's like, holy shit, this guy's knowledge is incredible.
Well, it'll be like you would like, you know, what you're into. hey man, mm-hmm. I'm just a bit older. Yeah. And I'm smarter. I just have more. Yeah. I've just been exposed to more.
That's awesome. But you know, we're up to 9 dios. Yeah. I know you said that you're maybe
still. I'll give you a little something. A little something.
All right. Gonna show us
he's gonna go get more rings for our audio listeners. He's putting on more rings.
Well, he's been doing this a lot, so he wants to show them off. You know,
yeah. For our audio listeners, you guys got to check out the video because he's been.
You guys got to check out the video on this.
Doing a lot of jazz hands,
a lot of stuff.
Jazz hands. We showed off a lot of his pictures. Really cool stuff. And he went and got to show something to us. So definitely check it out. It's all good.
All good, man.
So, I don't know if you guys recognize that. So, this is the insert from the NECA TMNT Mirage Studio figures.
Right? Okay.
So, yep. It's Eastman's and Laird's illustration kind of take. I think they've extended it a bit, but yeah, it's from their OG comic.
That's dope.
So, we know that they're doing a Mirage, they're doing the new Mirage Studios Turtles.
Yep.
Now, this is not the right scale. This is not the right scale, but like you mentioned about straight lines and things like that.
Yeah.
So this is taking it a different way. This is recreate.
Oh, that's really cool.
Like the cartoon
look. Yeah. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Right.
I think, like I said, you like to tease stuff. I think I remember you doing a shot.
I did a shot with Casey.
Oh, Jones. Wait. Yeah. Here it is. Yeah.
Did a shot with that. Now, the reason I haven't taken it further is we don't know when those NECA turtles are dropping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. I wanted to try and coincide it with that. Like, whenever that starts coming out, like, okay. And this will probably, if the timing is right, this will probably be the one that connects to the rooftop.
Nice.
I love that you're connecting to the rooftop, man. That's so cool.
There's definitely going to be something that connects to the rooftop.
So count me in, dude. Yeah.
So
that's great.
Hopefully we get that. The rumors or the vibe is that it's going to be an SDCC thing.
Okay.
They showed it in the display case last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and nothing, you know, we just had the Hallathon and there was no hint of this. Right. So it's like, maybe the next big event is that. But who knows with NECA? I mean, that Hallathon kind of came out of nowhere, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? It did.
That kind of threw a spanner into everyone's plans.
Oh, man. Yeah, people were pissed off about that, too. It's like they're giving us toys and people are mad about it.
For real, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Mezco thing. What? They're delivering?
Yeah, they're delivering on the alien bats.
Oh, what? The pre-orders are all hitting?
Yeah. I know. Like, do you want it or not? Like, I don't understand where the hate's coming from.
Yeah.
But yeah, so potentially we'll see this one coming next. I love how you do the windows, by the way, too, being able to put the lights behind it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's awesome.
This shot is a great representation of what you can do with that, putting some strong lights. And it, I don't know what material you use for the windows, but it has a really good job of like kind of polarizing the light and spreading it out.
Infraboard.
Uh-huh.
It's like a polycarbonate.
Okay. Mm.
It's just a cheap, it's like kids' presentation board stuff. You're like, you know, if you want to make a poster panel for a kid's project, it's that.
Nice.
A lot of the materials I use are, you know, domestically available.
And then if you guys missed it, he still has the pre-order open for the City Ruins. I think you do, right? I don't want to speak for you, but
I'm going to keep it as open for a day after this episode airs.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Awesome.
There you go.
So yeah, I think that gives you until the 10th. So it gives you guys, if you're listening, gives you to the 10th of April to secure your City Ruins dio. I think you're on batch 2 or batch 3 at this point.
Yeah, batch 2. Batch 2. It's still batch 2.
Nice.
Batch 1's going to be ready next week.
Nice. Wow. That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
So you don't really put this stuff up until you're ready to like go full bore in producing, basically.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. That way we don't wait too long.
Yeah, the castle door, because that is highly detailed, the castle door is taking a bit longer, unfortunately, but it should be hitting in about 2 weeks, finishing that off. So that castle door took a long time, unfortunately.
The other thing is totally different.
The weather here, because it's so humid, when it rains here, paint don't dry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't dry, man. Like, you know, Prime can know. Like, it's like when I paint it, it stays, even though it feels dry, you can feel that it's cold. like the foam is cold, so you know it's still wet inside. You know, you gotta wait till it actually, when you pick it up, it's not cold anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm using hair dryers at night and shit like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of little accessories that you're including in there too, like the archer stakes and the shield and even these little pieces.
Yeah, again, building out the scene. And, you know, like for the photographer that I do, I try and cram it in, but I'm not suggesting. The idea is that, oh, you can use the archer stake and another thing. You
yeah, foreground. Shield,
and there you go. Foregrounds, baby. Foregrounds. They're coming. They're gonna...
But yeah, I mean, long story short, if you guys are interested in his work, stay tuned to his page. It sounds like we're going to be getting something here very soon. If you're not following him, make sure you follow him on Instagram. Are you on Twitter at all or just IG?
No.
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter either. No. I stay off it myself. Yeah, at 78 points of articulation on Instagram. We'll have the link down below as well, so you guys can click on it there. But we're not done with you yet. We're going to go into the Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen.
12 rapid-fire rounds of different toy companies. And since you're such a collector of so many different things, very eager to hear what you have to say about some of this stuff. So let's go ahead and pull that up and do a round of the Dirty Dozen. All right. Dirty Dozen time.
Who's first? Who's first? Let's go.
First, we got Super 7.
All right. Super 7. I don't mess with it, unfortunately, man.
Yeah.
The price point, when it gets out here, it's pushing $100, man.
Wow.
And I can't, for me personally, the value for $100. Yeah, there's a, the nostalgia hit.
Yeah.
You know, the renders look superb. Unfortunately, I've heard and seen just, not quite the same, what you get in hand.
You make a key love point. Them. Renders look great, but sometimes in hand, they're not so great. I got the TMNT and I love them. But I kind of stopped after that because I got a little scared from seeing some people getting product in hand.
Yeah. The main thing is the price point for me.
Start with the price.
Now, the funny thing is, as a side note, the owner, I don't know him personally, but I know him through vintage skateboard forums. He's a skate, nice. The Brian skate, he Brian collects Flynn. Old boards.
Yeah.
And he was the dude that we'd all get upset with because someone would put something for sale and he'd just buy it. Like he'd be one of the first big dogs, sharks, whales that would come in and just buy everything. We're like, oh man.
That's crazy though.
Brian Flynn.
Brian Flynn. I remember from the skating days.
Super 7 started as like designer toys, right?
Yep.
So I used to be into streetwear, designer toys, the music, all that.
And that's cool.
I knew Super 7 more through there.
Yeah,
you know, so I have some of their old vinyl stuff, like statues and things, but they're action figures now. I don't have.
Okay. Let's see what else we got. Marvel Legends.
Love
like
hate.
You said.
Absolute love hate, man. Love
it. Yeah, they're expensive out there.
They're expensive out here. Now the thing is, they give you character designs that nobody else will do. I mean, like the recent thing. Is the three packs, you know, the double three packs for that X-Men 275 issue. I freaking love that comic cover. That was like peak Jim Lee X-Men.
Yeah.
That fold out. Oh my God. Right. I couldn't say no. I have them. I just got the last three pack in hand. They're okay. You know, like it's more of the same. And you want a company that big to innovate more, man. You know? Like, especially when you start seeing all these smaller companies which are using like Mezco as their bar and they're all chasing Mezco. It's like, come on, Hasbro. Like, you're the biggest toy company in the world.
Right.
You can do better, man. You know, it's not lack of, oh, they don't have the designers or that. They have the brain power. We know it. Sorry to say, it's, you know, boardrooms.
Right.
I wish it was different, man. I wish it was different because I know, you know, those designers know they want to do more.
Right.
I mean, the head sculpts, like the last year and a half, 2 years, some of the female head sculpts by Mayshelf, they have been stunning. And then when like guys like Uncle Sam repaints them, holy shit.
Right.
They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. Right. So, you know, Yeah.
You see, you jumped on a HasLab?
I've done most of the HasLabs. I got the Razor Crest still.
Nice.
The Sentinel, the Galactus, yeah.
What'd you think about the...
Yeah, I didn't do the Hell Charger. No, that I just that didn't. Yeah, unfortunately, I think that boardroom comment kind of flows into that. Unfortunately, yeah. Man, that was a Come on, guys.
Right,
come on, guys.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a fine line when you have such a huge corporation, too many cooks in the kitchen. Yeah. You know, too
I much understand that,
interest about so, stock price and all that.
Yeah. They kind of shoot themselves in the foot.
They do.
NECA. Yeah. NECA was a company that I kind of avoided because of breakage, the plastic for a while.
Yeah.
Like I had some figures and like, even though they got a bit annoying, like I have to warm up the figure before I play with it every time. Mm-hmm. Like I ain't got the time. Who got time for that? Right. So, but in the last year, year and a half, they've done something behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah.
And they're great, man. I got a few NECAs. And like the, you know, the Mirage Studio stuff, I'm messing with that. Okay, the articulation isn't the best, but what they do give you, you can put it through its paces nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, the Casey Challenge, you can put it through its paces. And so I think they're improving. Yeah, I want to get that chunk, man.
That thing is so cool. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And like you said,
I gotta wait for it if it goes online pre-order or something, because it's a bit tricky. Yeah, man. He's dumb, right? Like the apps on that, man. The paint apps, right? For real, right? That's just
the head movement on there, and then the fact that you can open and close his jaw. I'm like, wow, it's cool.
You know, and NECA is definitely a brand that you can see them improving. Like if you take a step back and look at just gonna say, like they get better, and that's dope to see.
Yeah, even the breakage. I mean, the breakage used to be a lot worse. I know it's not perfect now. There's still people that break figures, but they've definitely improved, and I think their distribution's gotten better, at least in the States. You know, and their price point stays very consistent.
If the scale on some of the movie stuff and all that was you know, more in line with our other figures, I would be into it much more.
Right. No, that's a good point. It's a little bit big.
A little bit big, yeah.
Mythic Legions.
Oh man.
Going hard.
Yeah, it's hard not to do all ins like time.
Because it's just a better value overall.
Oh, it's insane. And these guys are killing me, man.
Seriously.
It's like we just got through one pre-order and you're like, all right, I can take a rest. No, here's another one.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Here's a limited drop. Oh man, they just get your attention on that. I'm really happy that we got previews of an updated articulation, though. Like they sneaked that with some of those prototype or tests, because that was much needed, in my opinion. I get, you know, hey, we're kind of, you know, the Motu inspiration coming from there and things like that. The articulation wasn't meant to be all that. They had a specific, how do you say it, like an engineering concept, right, of the way they do articulation. And they do it really well. They do hit poses, that's for sure. But, you know, I want to see them innovate. And they are, which is great. Their designs are phenomenal. The current Cosmic Legion line that's up for pre-order, you can see, again, from Wave 1 to this Wave 3, there's more paint apps, there's more details, things like that. It's dope. They're amazing. If you jump into the pre-order, that price point is it's fantastic. You know, when they after the pre-order, you know, $50 a figure, you know, you probably pick and choose once it hits 50, right?
Right.
At 38, it's hard not to say all in.
Yeah, you really can't beat that direct price. Even at conventions, I know normally it's 38 online, but they'll do $40 for retail at conventions. Yeah. So still beating BBTS price.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm happy with that price, right? It's always a bit hard. Like, ooh, that guy became $80. Ooh.
Yeah.
The big ones, right? And
it's one of those lines that the risk, I think, is fairly small because there is such a rabid community that if you need to offload figures, there's always somebody looking for a specific Legion.
True. That seems to be good.
Yeah.
I think it's like in terms of that community and the hype on this brand is like, has it peaked? I don't know. But man, it has blown up.
It really has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the community, too, is just great. Very positive all the time, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we've got SH Figure Arts.
Probably the leader in terms of mass-produced action figures in the world, like what they do. You know, a lot of the articulation, the engineering. They if they update something, other companies tend to follow. Bandai is, I think they're the second biggest toy company in the world. But
it's crazy.
Sorry to say, unlike Hasbro, these guys, Bandai, they do innovate. Every now and then they take a step back, but they do innovate. You know, I mean, this little girl, Anya, Anya from the recent anime, she's fully articulated. You know, she's got ankle rockers, double knee joint. You know,
for a small double finger elbows, like that too.
Double elbows. And, yeah, it's wild. And sometimes they give you on like the bigger IPs, they give you an opening, like the main character will be $25. Which is just crazy, bonkers.
Yeah, man. You're saying you can get $25 SH figures where you live.
Like, so the kid Naruto is coming out in a month or two. That was like $25 or something, $23. It's just insane.
Yeah, the crazy thing is I've been seeing SH Figure Arts in Target at like that lower price point, which is pretty insane to see a Japanese toy company in a Target.
Selling
figures.
And they give you, you know, with the anime ones, they do face plates a lot of the time, right? I don't know why more companies don't do faceplates. Like, you don't need to make a new head. You can just do a faceplate. It's
pop the head out.
You can get more.
Right.
You know, like the Dragon Ball line. I'm kind of glad I don't do Dragon Ball Z in my words.
There's so much. So much stuff.
And they give you hands.
Stayed up for the same reason.
They give you effects. Yeah. They give it all.
And basically, your bread and butter.
And then, bread and butter. For sure. And then they do like more obscure lines and like the Elden Ring thing.
I like the Elden Ring representation. You got Mr. Pot, and now you got this other guy.
And then the in the castle diorama, I gave the map totem.
Oh, nice.
That was the thing. Like, you know, you find the map. That was it.
Oh,
because I was playing it, and I was like, oh, I can make that screencast.
That's genius, though, dude. That's genius, because it resonates with people. G.I. Joe.
Joe's. They, like I said, they were the like they were the toy for me when I was growing up. I had a lot. I had tubs, you know, tubs. And I remember, you know, visiting my grandma as a kid. We didn't get vehicles so much out here. And then going like to a Toys R Us, that blew my mind as like a 7 year old, I think I was. I remember going there and buying vehicles. Just I haven't gone in as crazy as I thought I would with the classifieds. I think when they first came out, because they had that kind of like this updated design,
right?
Didn't quite hit, right? But when they do that, like the OGs, and it's I can't say no. It's probably it is the best line that Hasbro's doing right now.
Yeah, I can agree with that too.
Right. These Parmesan dudes have also,
they
keep improving as well, man. Like those new reveals. Like that, the way they do the pricing tier as well, it makes sense. You know, it doesn't feel too harsh. They're really good.
Yeah, I feel like I get more for my money with classified as opposed to like legends from
for
Hasbro.
Real, man. Come on, like,
yeah.
Look at those two packs, and we just had the binary and Doom two pack. You know, then you look at the Viper two packs or the three packs. It was stacked.
Yeah, it was. Came with so much stuff. Bats.
All the bats. Oof. I got six of those.
Well, you used a lot of them in that City Ruins shot, too. I love that.
I did. I know. Like, cool. I got four in that shot.
Yeah,
I couldn't do six. I was like, there's no space. All right, I'll just use four. I love the bat, man. That was my figure as a kid.
Nice. Yeah, great line. How about Mattel? You collect any Mattel?
Not so much. Not so much.
Yeah,
I'm not... Even though I like I mentioned, Motu was a thing as a kid and went to Joe's. As soon as Joe's hit, I was out of Motu, man. The only Motu stuff I have is like the Batmobile from the Batman that came out recently, the RC car.
Nice.
I did jump in on the Motu Virgil Abloh. Kind of a little gimmicky. It's a bit gimmicky, but hey, you know, something to hold on to. Because I still like collectibles. I was very collectible.
Yeah,
and I don't do wrestling figures. I don't know. I didn't get we didn't have exposure to it as a kid out here. So,
Yeah, I never really got into wrestling myself, but I know Mattel is huge for it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, they're doing great right companies. Now, they got that, was it WCW gate entry thing with all
the lights? Oh, yeah, that thing's insane with the lights and,
Like, it's if they did, if it was like some sort of IP that I was into that gave you that kind of thing, holy shit.
Yeah, it'd be hard to resist.
Yeah. For real, yeah.
Mezco.
S tier, the GOAT. These guys changed the game for me. These guys changed the game. You know, just they're a small company, and despite you know how much room they take up in my collection, they're still I consider them an indie company.
Mm-hmm.
And indie companies have it's tough for them sometimes, but in terms of their product, man, you know, just even if it's their own IP or you know someone else's IP, it's insane. Side cutter is incredible.
Yeah.
How good is Sod Cutter, right? Like,
so good,
right? It's the design, all the hands, like each of those hands, man. It's and how many heads do we got? We got like six of them or something,
at least 12. Yeah,
there's so many, you know. And that's one of those like figures, like the photos were kind of there, but you kind of took a gamble on it, right?
Right,
right? You Conan took a gamble, and Conan, yo, like, I had Conan as a kid. I had two adopted brothers that were heavy into Conan and heavy metal magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so I've had Conan. You know, Frazetta Conan is like it's just part of my DNA. So when that first one came up, I was excited, but I was skeptical. You know, like, are they going to give us the articulation, or is it going to be, you know, because at that time we had like the Rumbleverse had the better articulation.
Yeah.
Right.
And the IP stuff, we got kind of these limited articulation figures. It's like disappointing, but man, when that Conan came in hand, I think that was the big thing for me. Like, gave me the excuse to go all in on Mythic.
Oh, nice!
Even though I need somebody to fight. Yeah,
I was already, you know, when they started doing the Horsemen, at least the first Horsemen, I was already in. You know, but I didn't do the all in that way. I picked and choose. You know, but yeah, I was like, all right. Okay, we got Conan now. Yeah,
to your point,
they're overall my favorite company, I think.
Yeah. The weights can be rough, but once you get one in hand, I'm very rarely disappointed in what I'm getting.
Yeah, I mean, the weights, I understand that. I sympathize with them as indie companies. And, you know, as a comic book collector, we've had times where a series will go on hiatus for years, you know? Mm-hmm. And it could be... Some comics, man, has been like 10 years for the last issue to come out, or 4 years for the last issue to come out, because the creators are busy with other stuff. So, you know, kind of okay with it.
Right.
Yeah. And hey, it's look, the I don't have the product in hand yet for Bats, but it's looking pretty dope.
A reasonable Mezco collector. That's insane. It doesn't exist. Tamashii Nation. So like more Gundam model kits, stuff like that.
I used to like SD Gundam as a little kid.
Uh-huh.
Before they had Tamashii Nations, I was heavy into SD Gundam and model kits. To be frank, my eyesight is not as good as it used to be. So model kits kind of, they're hard, man.
They take patience. Hard.
Like, like I have to use like the magnifying glass thing with the clippers.
You've got like the glass with the extra glass on top of it.
I don't have that. I wish that would be pretty cool, but no. So I don't do too many kits, man. And then like the thing with kits, like you see the guys who like go all out, you know, like they buff the thing. They even use like a special glue to make the seams become seamless.
Yep.
And then they paint it. Yo, man, I can't.
Yeah, I don't have that level of patience either. Man. Yeah.
You know,
so I just want to pick it together.
Like, I do one or two kits a year. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did Gundam kits when I was much, much younger, and I don't have any desire to get back into it. Third-party loans. It's a big thing for you.
It is a big thing for me. I think a lot of cats as well. Like, you know, 5K Toys is the big site in the States. Mm-hmm. A lot of cats are, like, seeing that in their bulk of their pre-orders or what they're buying, it's going there now, you know?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily just one line, because a lot of these lines will only do one or two figures a year. But... If you put them all together, man, It's, yeah. For me, that then these guys are also going to push the industry more. Mm-hmm. Because then the bigger brands are like, hey, we can't stay still. We're already getting overtaken. And then we're going to get left behind completely, you know. The other thing is they will also do figures that maybe the other, you know, bigger brands that need the licensing won't be able to get.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, like one of the big ones recently is like the Noda guys, right?
Yeah.
To do their unlicensed stuff, they use Atom or Atom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
So like the Moon Knight one or Mr. Knight.
Yeah, Mr. Knight, they called him. They did, you know, they started with Logan, right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. yeah, they started, I forgot what they called him.
The driver.
And the driver, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy how they can get around that license because you know clearly what it is. But just maybe the fact that they're using the different name and not any Marvel or DC representation.
I also think it's because the numbers are small.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not hitting the distribution. It's all kind of one-to-one distribution and sales, I believe.
But I'm right there with you, man. I'd love to see more people getting on board with third-party. Third-party continues to get larger and larger and larger. We're getting all these crazy figures I never thought we would get, like Metal Slug. Who thought we'd get Metal Slug figures?
Yeah.
And they end up being killer. Like, from what I've heard, everybody loves those.
Dude, man. Oh, they're the best figure of the year so far, man.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. Like, and that's, but those, these third parties, like that Metal Slug, the Tunchi Studios, there's no doubt that those guys were heavily influenced by the bar set by Mezco.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. No doubt. With the accessories, the bucks. I mean, the Gomez buck really changed the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Noda Studios, he doesn't shy away from saying, I took that and tried to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Makes sense.
In some ways, he has. You know, he has a different mold, so it's a bit more rubbery, so there's more give. Yeah.
It's awesome. All right. Last but not least, well, depending on who you are, McFarlane Toys.
Hey, yo, Toddy Mac. he's always been a disruptor, man. Like, that's his thing. All right. He is on point with that disruption, business disruption. He's amazing. The energy this guy has, you know, I you can't front. Like, he is slowly, like, in the comic game as well, he's come back so strong since Spawn hit 300.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he basically took over DC for a couple of months. It was insane last year.
Crazy.
And he's doing toys and keeps increasing his IPs and things. You know, it's wild. You know, the criticisms of scale. Okay, scale is a thing. I understand that. Some of the joints don't look great. You know, the pegs are too big. They're improving. The paint apps may not all be there, but the thing that he does is the price point.
Yeah.
And you can't front on that. And these things sell.
Yeah. Well, like,
You know, I'm in comic community discords and things like that, or, you know, whatever it is, YouTube streams and all that. They freaking love McFarlane, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the guys who are anti-Funko in the comic store buy McFarlane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the comic stores love him. The other thing is, like, how he gets the current figure out on time.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's happening in the book. Uh-huh. And here's the toy. Like, that's how it should be, right? You know? And I guess we got kind of spoiled, or not spoiled. We got a bit complacent, like, whoa, that's a big thing, you know? It used to happen when we were kids. Mm-hmm. You know, like the TV show, the cartoon, and the toy matched, right? Like, that's this season. There's the figure.
Yep.
So, you know.
Yeah, love him or hate him, the guy's making hand over fist money. I mean, he's selling figs. He's got new IPs. He's doing the right thing somewhere. So
His vehicles.
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat the price on those vehicles. Like that 89 Batmobile, $60.
Did we all order the Batmobile?
I definitely did.
I didn't.
Prime. You got two of those?
And I have like three other Batmobiles already that it's just
it's $60, man.
I know. I'll get one.
$60.
We'll get you one. We'll get you one.
It keeps popping up on Amazon.
You'll Kickstarter for Prime.
It'll come up again.
It'll come up again.
Yeah.
It's going to be Black Friday.
Oh, there's going to be plenty of that, I think.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, don't freak out when you see a McFarlane sellout because, like we just talked about, he likes money. He'll produce more if he sees the demands there.
That is no doubt. He likes money. Oh, yeah. He'll produce another wave.
Yeah.
No, that guy, he's amazing with that stuff.
Really awesome combo, man. You're one of those guys that just so easy to talk to. I feel like I relate to you a lot of different stuff. I've been wanting you on here for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we finally made it work.
Finally did.
Really enjoyed the conversation. Definitely keep your eyes on 78s if you're not already. Make sure you're following him on Instagram at 78 Points of Articulation. Keep an eye on his page for the upcoming dio or jump in on the City Ruins. You only got a few days left. And then if you're not already, make sure to subscribe to Lost Cause Collective on YouTube. They go live every Saturday night at 8:30 p.m. Pacific time. Anything else you want to plug before we let you go, 78?
Yeah, that was perfect, man. I'm going to clip that.
Perfect.
Nice. Thanks a lot, man, for having me.
Absolutely, man. We'll have to have you back again.
Yeah, we've been friends for on the DMs and all that for a minute, so it's cool.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man.
For sure, man. All right, we're gonna let him go, and then we'll sign you guys out.
You know, awesome freaking combo with that guy. It was weird being so nice to him. Like I'm so used to being so mean to each other in the DMs, but no, I love that we finally were able to carve out some time and have him in the booth.
Yeah. I've been wanting him on the show for a long time. I'm a big fan of what he does.
I've been resisting for a long time.
Yeah. I'm like, Prime, let's have him on. Prime, like, no way.
I'm going to make him wait. And then the DMs, he's like showing me a bunch of love. I'm like, knock it off. Quit being so nice.
Yeah. Even better than I expected. I really enjoyed that episode. Hopefully you guys did too. And if you did, make sure you hit that like button. That's a small gesture. It goes a long way. It takes you little effort.
Yeah.
Please hit the like button when you're watching our videos. We really appreciate it. Let us know what you guys think about the interview in the comment. Leave a comment. Let us know. Yeah. Who do you guys want to see on the show? Tell us. That feedback is awesome. We had somebody else comment on one of our prior interviews. I'd love to see 78 points. So this is one of those. Hopefully that satisfied you. Mm-hmm. But if you guys aren't subscribed, make sure to subscribe to the Figure Booth on YouTube. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss when we go live. We'll be back for our next Motivation Monday. On the 10th, but the 17th, I think. Yep. Yeah, we'll be back 17th. For that. And Prime, where can they find you?
All under Prime to the First on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
You guys can find me at figurefan_Nate on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Till next time, guys.